listening to the Sunday, Sunday, Sunday podcast brought to you by LifeTeen.com, a reflection on the upcoming Sunday Catholic Mass readings. And now your host, the Bible geek, Mark Hart.
My brothers and my sisters, it's always great to be with you. Thanks for joining us for this podcast. And just know that all of us here at LifeTeen pray for you. We pray for you daily. We pray for you weekly in our private intentions, in our staff intentions. We're so thankful you're on this journey with us in this movement. We pray that God blesses you and your families. This week, we're taking a look at the 32nd Sunday in Ordinary Time. Our first reading from 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 10 through 16. Our responsorial psalm from Psalm 146, verses 7 through 10. Our second reading from Hebrews chapter 9, verses 24 through 28. And our gospel from St. Mark chapter 12, verses 38 through 44. Remember when I was a kid, and I heard Jesus say, 70 times 7. You have to forgive your enemy 70 times 7. And that was always worse to me than 77. I liked the 77. That seemed very doable. The 70 times 7, even when I was good at arithmetic, that's 490. I don't know about that. That's a lot. But even the legalist inside of me, I was just kind of figuring, well, I'm just going to keep track here of all the times I forgive my older brothers for beating me up. And right when we got about the 450, 460 mark, I was feeling pretty good because I figured once I hit 490, all bets were off and they were dust. They were done. Unfortunately, I learned years later that that's not exactly what Jesus meant by that passage. And while that's not the passage this week, we have a different gospel passage. I think for me, that kind of puts into a framing how I feel about these readings. You see, I'm the kind of person that likes to have a list. I like to have an exact list of what I need to do. I like to have a schedule when the weekend hits. My wife hates it. She just wants to be present to life, just kind of see what happens. I like to have a schedule. I want to have my schedule with my cup of coffee so I can set up my day and I can knock things off my list of what needs to do. And the more I can get done, then the longer I'll have to relax. That's just the way I approach life. It's very anal. I choose to find it charming. Now, the reason I say this is that for a lot of us in the way we approach our life, especially our faith life, is we want to have limits. We want to have an exact list. Hey, tell me what I have to do, God, to have eternal life, like the rich young man says. Tell me what I need to do to be in good shape, okay? Tell me how much I have to tithe. Tell me how much I have to give. And we like to set up our lives where we have parameters. This is how much I'm willing to give. This is how far I'm willing to go. And as long as we're willing to go farther or do a little bit more than most people, we feel good about ourselves. And God is constantly reminding us, I'm going to ask you for everything and then some. That's the way of the cross. That's the way of the gospel. That's the way of Catholic hospitality and charity. I'm going to ask you for everything that you have and that you are, and then some. And it's the and then some that's the hardest part for all of us that actually try to live this life, that try to follow God, that pray daily, and that go to Mass, and that go to confession, and read Scripture, and we're trying to live the life. It's the and then some that we really struggle with. That's where God takes you from being a good person to a saint. It's in the and then some. In our first reading, Elijah is sent to a widow, and she doesn't have very much food. And she has just enough for herself and for her son, just enough for one last meal. And after that last meal, they're going to die. And instead, Elijah tells her not to fear. Do not be afraid. And he's basically saying, make me something to eat. Now, this is a pretty bold thing he's saying. I mean, he's asking this widow and her son on their, basically almost on their deathbed, for their last meal. And she does, as he says, I mean, he's a godly man. He's a man of God. And her hospitality does not know a limit. She gives out of her poverty. She gives everything that she has and then some. And God is not outdone in generosity. And then we come to find out the jar of flour shall not go empty, the jug of oil not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain upon the earth. Okay, that she's been living in this drought-ridden time. And she does what Elijah says. And sure enough, the jar did not go empty. The jug did not go dry. And the Lord fulfilled what he promised through Elijah. You see, she gave everything and then some. And God, in response to her faith, and here we are again in this year of faith, in response to her faithfulness, that he took care of her and her son in a way that she never could have taken care of herself. And we have to remember that that's the kind of God we serve. That's the God we worship. We go to the gospel. Jesus is going to point out a very, very specific situation. And he's teaching, and he says, hey, beware of the scribes who walk around in their long robes, and they sit in their seats of honor, and basically they recite these lengthy prayers. Be aware of them, and be leery of them. Watch what they do. And he sits down across from the treasury, and he watches a crowd of people coming up putting money into the treasury. Okay, this is their tithe offering. And a lot of rich people walk up, and they put in a lot of money. But then he points out a widow, and she comes up with two small coins. And that's not worth very much. It even says in the gospel, it's only worth a few cents. And it's at that point he calls all of his disciples to him, and he says, look, that widow gave more than everybody else. Yeah, they may have given more in terms of monetary, you know, in terms of actual dollars and cents, you know, actually denarii. But what you have to understand is that she doesn't have anything, and she's giving everything she has, and then some. And it's the "and then some" that gets Jesus' attention. It's the "and then some" that heaven is just resounds over and cheers over and sings over, is when we give everything we have and then some. There's nothing wrong with reciting prayers. There's nothing wrong with, you know, with being in a synagogue, but it's about, is it about you or is it about God? Is it about how you're seen? You know, are we the kind of person, you know, I remember in the past, like I've gone to give a tip to somebody like at a sandwich place or a coffee place, you know, and you go to put a tip in, if the person isn't looking, you put it in and you almost feel like, oh, should I pull it out and put it in again so that they see? Because I want them to see I'm tipping them. I want to have that visual confirmation that they understand and they're grateful for what I just did. Or is it about just being generous, just being charitable? My brothers and my sisters, who do we do it for? And who are we doing it for? You know, do we want to be acknowledged and praised for every small act, every small gift that we give, every small gift that we offer? Or is it enough that God knows? And my brothers and my sisters, do we give until it hurts? Or do we give it till it hurts and then some? Because when I look at the crucifix, I see a God who gave until it hurt and then some, and then a whole lot more. If you want to be like Jesus, don't set parameters on your charity. Don't set parameters on what you are and aren't willing to do. If you want to love like God, give it all, and then some.
This podcast is brought to you by your friends at lifeteen.com.